The Economist and Reserve Bank board member Warwick McKibben says the government's emissions trading scheme is driven more by politics than credible economics. Professor McKibben is a long-time critic of the ETS, and during a visit to the United States, he's reiterated his call for the legislation to be delayed until after the climate change summit in Copenhagen later this year. Washington correspondent Michael Rowland reports.
Warwick McKibben is in Washington to release a report he's co-authored on the economic impacts of the climate change bill now before the US Congress, and it makes for sobering reading. The study estimates the move to slash greenhouse gas emissions in America will cut the country's economic growth rate by 2.5% by the year 2050. It also forecasts significant job losses, particularly in the coal and electricity industries. Professor McKibben believes the US legislation is just as flawed as the emissions trading scheme proposed by the Australian government.
Well, I think they suffer from the same basic problem, and that is that they're focusing on getting a political solution that doesn't deal with these long-term issues of credibility and price setting long-term prices. There's too much flexibility in the Australian bill because they don't pre-commit for 100 years. They pre-commit for 15 years and then 5 years at a time. The US bill has even less of a horizon of pre-commitment. That's the fundamental flaw in these two approaches. If we really want people to invest, they have to be able to see a future where they can make a lot of money out of investing over long time horizons. And that, to me, is the key that's missing from both strategies.
Professor McKibben has been advocating a hybrid scheme that includes a cap-and-trade mechanism as well as a carbon tax. And as the Senate prepares to vote on the emissions trading scheme, he's again urging the government to put its legislation on hold until after the climate change negotiations in Copenhagen in December.
You'd be needing to wait until you know what happens at Copenhagen because it relies so much on the rest of the world to have a safety valve on the costs. I actually don't like that. I don't like relying on being able to buy low-cost permits overseas because we don't know they will be when the time comes that we need them. And it's better to have a national system that controls the cost rather than being part of a global system. It's just too risky. And this is all about risk management after all. So we don't need to do that, but the government in Australia has decided that that will be the safety valve.
How hopeful are you of anything resembling agreement coming out of Copenhagen?
Well, there's not going to be any agreement on actual policies. The US is not in a position to negotiate a Copenhagen agreement because they don't have a national policy themselves. Key people aren't even on board yet in the US. So, I mean, it's going to be the same sort of probability as we had at Kyoto. Yes, we can negotiate whatever we want, but will countries go away and actually implement the policies required to hit whatever they've agreed to? And the answer is, under targets and timetables, you don't have the incentive to actually do anything because the costs are uncertain, so you end up doing nothing or very little. And that's the danger of this continuous cap targets and timetables strategy. Politics is the targeting, but it's not good economics.
The Economist and Reserve Bank board member Warwick McKibben speaking there with Michael Rowland.